Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Thank you to our amazing worship team and the gift that they are. Y'all are amazing. And can't speak to how thankful I am for the gifts that God's placed within you all week in, week out, leading us into the presence of God. You guys are amazing. But if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I say it every week, I'll continue to say it. There is no place I'd rather be this side of heaven than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name. We're going to continue our series entitled Courageous Faith. We're going through the book of Joshua. And anybody want to take a guess on what week we're in? All right, we'll go through. We'll go back. Ground rules. If I ask a question, I love audience participation. It's just one of the things that I like. So if I ask a question, sometimes I like answers. So anybody want to take a guess what week we're in? All right, so taking notes is a great thing. Taking notes, great thing to start doing. It's a great habit to get into, taking notes. So we're in week 7 of our series, Courageous Faith. Next week will be? Y'all, brilliant. You guys are brilliant. We're in week 7, but we're actually covering Joshua 8 because we covered 1 and 2 together. See? You know, some of you are like, I missed a week. We have an amazing online worship experience. You can watch it anytime. As a matter of fact, we're live streaming from North Braddock right now. They're probably wrapping up in the next few minutes. But you can go back and watch that at any time. But let's go ahead and pray. Amen? Yeah. Let's do it. Father God, thank you so much for what you've already done today and what you have planned to do in the remainder of the time that we have together. And then what you're going to do when we send people out of this place. Because that's when church really starts. This is just the building. Church is outside these walls when we go and be the church. So, Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, we submit this time to you. Lord, speak through me, Lord. God, I submit to you just as a vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to unpack Joshua 8. There's 35 verses. We're not going to read every single one of them. That's actually your assignment. But we're going to unpack the entirety of Joshua 8. And we're going to talk about the fact that Joshua 7 built on Joshua 8. Joshua 7 helps us to understand how we use Joshua 8 to follow God's plan. And victory is the result if, everybody say if.
If.
It's one of my favorite two-letter words. If you stay committed to God. If you stay committed to Him, victory is the result. We're going to look at how your past could be setting you up for your future. It's a setup. It's an inside job. Now, I grew up in McKeesport. You know how many times I've heard, oh, it's a setup. It's a setup. Setting you up, dog. I heard that so much. It's a trap. That's a trap house. Set up. Listen, I know so many people that are still stuck in their past. They're actually still living it. Because they've bought into the lie that that's as good as it's ever going to get. But your past doesn't define you. It can actually launch you into your future. If you allow for God to help you through and rebound through the defeat. And courageous faith rebounds from defeat by resetting to God's plan. We're going to see that through Joshua 8. Courageous faith rebounds from defeat by remembering to give God thanks. We're going to see that throughout Joshua 8. Courageous faith rebounds from defeat by renewing your commitment to God. We're going to see that throughout Joshua 8. We're going to unpack that. But before we get there, let's go back to our launching verse. Where we launched from, we'll continue to launch from. Joshua 1, 9. This is my command. Whose command? God. I see what you got there. You were just following what was on the screen. Kudos to you, but it was God. It's God's. Okay? I asked you whose, and you went with my, which is a good, not a wrong answer. God's command. God's telling him this is his command. To be strong and what? Courageous. 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 You have to have courage. Just like who? The lion in Wizard of Oz. Right? He needed courage. What did he find out at the end of the movie? He had it all along. He just needed a group of friends to be around him to help him find it. He had courage all along. It was there the whole time. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I want to say those three words at the end together. Wherever you go. Let's say it on three together. You all ready? I'm going to count to three, and then you all are going to say wherever you go. So I'm going to say one. And then I'm going to say two, and then I'm going to say three, and then you guys are going to say those three words. You ready? Here we go. One, two, three.
Wherever you go.
God is with you. When you're alone, when you're with your friends, when you're in that sticky situation, when you're stuck in that seasonal depression, when you're stuck in clinical depression, which I am not discounting, it is a real thing. Very real. When you're anxious, very real. I'm not discounting any of this. When you're stuck in that horrible financial decision where you don't think there's any way out, he's with you. When you're dealing with something with your kids or with your spouse or with family or with friends or with that relationship you think you shouldn't be in or should be in, he's with you. Don't be frightened. Do not be fearful. God is with us. You've been prepared or you're being prepared. Whatever you're going through, you've been prepared for it or you're being prepared as you go through it. God is with you. His word will not fail. It doesn't fail. It can't fail. Failure is not an option. It's not in his vocabulary. It will accomplish the desired result. So what are you, what are we going to do? God is working and speaking into our lives. I believe that today is on purpose. Amen. We're going to look at how our past can be a launching point into our future. Whenever we know who God is and know who we are with him, our past can be not something that holds us back, but gives us a definition to our future. And today's an amazing day that I'm preaching because today's a day that I'm celebrating the past. Today's my 13-year wedding anniversary to my beautiful wife. July 16th. 2010, I'll never forget, 5:30 p.m., our ceremony started. I was standing at the end of the aisle. She walked up the steps with her dad, and she looked so beautiful. I'll never forget the picture of my bride walking down the aisle. It was 93 degrees. We were outside. I fought to wear a tuxedo. But I will never forget what my bride looked like. I could close my eyes and see her. And 13 years later, me standing in that corner worshiping, it's ingrained in my mind what my bride looked like worshiping God. 13 years later, she's totally different than the woman that I married because God has changed her. And I'm totally different than the man she married 13 years ago. And that's what it's supposed to look like. 13 years from now, I'm going to be different than I am today. And so is she. That's God's plan. But our past launches us into our future. And I'm not afraid, but I know that fear is the price that we pay for making progress. You know why? Craig Rochelle told me that. And you know who told Craig? John Maxwell. Fear is the price you pay for making progress. And Craig said, you know, fear is the tuition you pay for making progress. I think they were sitting together. Craig didn't want to give John credit. So he's like, I'll just say tuition instead of price. But you got to pay a price for making progress in your life. You have to pay a price. And we see that in Joshua 7, they paid a price. Achan did some stuff. Remember in Joshua 7, he stole from God. They caught him. He didn't repent. He stole some stuff. He put it under his tent. He lied about it. And his whole family was affected. Whole family. They got stoned, burned, and buried under some rocks. Bad day. Not good. The elders and Joshua, they didn't want to do that. They just wanted Achan to repent, but he wouldn't do it. But then they had to move forward. They kept it moving. God instantly meets them in Joshua 8:1 and says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid or discouraged.'" Isn't it amazing that when God's with us, he instantly tells us, do not be afraid or discouraged. Why do you think that's a running theme? Because he knows who we are. He knows that we're going through something. Our flesh instantly wants to tell us, be afraid. Be discouraged. Stay stuck. Buy into the lie. You can't do it. You're not good enough. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Take all your fighting men and attack Ai. We're going to pause there. God's about to give them a plan. He's about to command Joshua what to do. But so far, Israel's experience is an illustration of their whole entire history. And it's actually a spiritual illustration in the history of so many Christians. Let's walk through it. You ready? Okay, let's go back to the beginning of the message. If there's a question mark at the end of what I say, usually I like an answer. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Obedience followed by victory. That's the first step of what they usually do and what we usually do. Victory followed by blessing. Oh, we won! Give me something. Here we go. Blessing followed by pride. And disobedience. Oh, victory. I did it. And then I'm going to disobey again. Disobedience followed by defeat. I disobeyed. I lost. Defeat followed by judgment. Uh-oh. Then we see judgment followed by repentance. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. Then we see repentance followed by obedience. I got caught. I'm sorry. Now I'll listen. And then we see obedience followed by victory, and the cycle continues. This is the song that never ends, right? And it goes on and on, my friends. It's like they listen, they lose. They win, they do it over and over and over and over again. Why don't we break the cycle? Be obedient to God and we win. Be obedient to God and we win. Be obedient to God and we win. I just keep winning. We just keep winning. It's almost unfair. Am I right? If we're obedient to God, we win. We see it over and over and over and over again. Let's repeat that cycle. Obedient to God, winning. All I do is win. All we do is win. There's a song about that. But we repeat the cycle of, oh, let's go back to disobedience. Let's go and look how courageous faith was rebounded from the defeat by Joshua and the people resetting to God's plan, remembering to give God thanks and renewing their commitment to God. Joshua 8, 1 through 2. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Don't be afraid or discouraged. Take all your fighting men and attack Ai, for I have given you the king of Ai, his people, his town, and his land. You will destroy them as you destroyed Jericho and its king. But this time you may keep the plunder and the livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the town." Listen, him and his people not being afraid or discouraged, this was the key to regaining victory. They had received this encouragement from God. Though they had stumbled through the sin of Achan that we saw in Joshua 7, they dealt with it. They dealt with that failure and they moved forward. Church, I don't know what all of your pasts look like. I don't know everything you've been through. I have the blessing and honor and privilege of being part of so many of your lives. I want to be a part of more. But I know for every single one of you, if you're going to get past your past and use it as a launching point by God for your future, you need encouragement from him. And you're like, I just don't know where to get it. I just wish I had a playbook for life. I just wish God would give me a plan like he's about to do for Joshua and Israel. I'm just so simple. Not stupid, but simple. I wish God would just keep it simple. I just don't understand the Bible. When's the last time you read it? They dealt with the failure and they kept it moving. So many Christians, we fail and we stay stuck. It's so difficult to regain lost ground sometimes in our lives. It could have been difficult for Joshua and all these people that were surrounding him to gain the lost ground at Ai. When we've failed, we've all failed at some point in our Christian lives, every single one of us. If you haven't, come to me, I'd like to write a book about your life. But we've all failed. And we all have had a moment or are currently in a moment where we need to get back on track. What's in the past is in the past. And you can either choose to live in it or use it with God to move forward from it. We must deal with it before God by repenting and dying to ourselves every single day and look forward to what he has for us without delaying. We see this in Joshua 8. God wants us to use us, our failures, in a good way. For us to use them as a foundation for a great victory for God. We may see it as a setback, but it's a setup for God. Let's keep going in Joshua 8, 1 through 2. Take all your fighting men and attack Ai. God wasn't despondent. God wasn't depressed. God wasn't anxious. God wasn't holding back. He didn't want Joshua and the nation of Israel to be that way either. Let's go fight. Do you understand why we're not going to get through all 35 verses today? We're still on 1 and 2. Now it's time to get busy and set it, the plan into motion, and get going, because we're about to be victorious for the Lord. He hadn't abandoned them. He hasn't abandoned you. To some of you and so many, he's saying, get up, let's go. Let's go fight. Get your people. Let's go. You might say, I don't have people. Look around. Get some. If you don't have people, maybe it's because you haven't said to somebody around you, I need some people. Amen. I'm shy. That's a lie. Go up to somebody and say, hi, I'm shy. What's your name? I'm serious. But this time you may keep the plunder and livestock for yourselves. Whew. Somebody, Kim Broom, you want the Wi-Fi password. I'll share it with you. You can have it. How do you think the people were feeling? Achan stole all this stuff. Stole all this stuff, right? Hid it under his tent. Enough stuff to fit under a tent. I don't know how big his tent was. Guessing it was a decent-sized tent because his family was there too. But now God's saying, hey, keep all the stuff in the city. He's giving them a whole city. A whole city. Because of their obedience. God allows them to keep the whole city. How foolish do you think Achan would have felt? All he had to do was repent. He could have had all his little heart desired in this city if he would have just waited on the Lord. Instead of trying to get what he wanted then, if he would have just waited on the Lord. He just wanted a little tent. God wanted them to have a city. Sometimes we just need to wait and be patient. Set an ambush behind the town, God said. God gives Joshua a plan for conquering the city of Ai, and now all they have to do is follow it. Listen, we need to regain the victory that is in our life. And God's given us a plan to do it. You know, I started watching I finished it now. It's a documentary. Good figure. I love documentaries. It's about quarterbacks in the NFL. It's just called Quarterbacks. Rachel's asked me like 3 times, what are you watching? It's called Quarterbacks. What's it about? Quarterbacks. Literally 3 times. She got hooked last night, though. She started watching it with me. Followed a few quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins, who's a devout Christian. That's why I really got hooked. I really wanted to see his life. Patrick Mahomes, which I wasn't too interested in. I don't like Kansas City. But Mariota, I always say his name wrong. He was in Atlanta, and now he's in Philadelphia as a backup quarterback. And they followed these 3 guys. And Kirk Cousins, you know, $100+ million contract with his team. Still studies his playbook like every single day, multiple times a day, and he draws the plays by hand. He's drawing the plays. So humble that he built a house. It's a modest house for somebody that has a $100 million contract. He wanted his trophy room, because he's been saving stuff since he was a kid. He wanted his trophy room to be hidden because he didn't want to seem prideful. It's behind a hidden door in his house. Because he knows it's about honoring God and what God's done in his life, but he doesn't want others to think it's prideful. It's like, wow, that's I could get behind that. I'm going to be a fan of the Minnesota Vikings now because of him. He's studying his book every single day, his playbook. And I want to challenge you in your devotion life. Are you studying the plan? If you are, that's where Joshua gets a new beginning, a new strategy, a new victory. That's where the people of Israel get that. And we're going to unpack that. We're going to rock through. Your assignment this week is to read Joshua 8 in its entirety, all 35 verses. We just got through 1 and 2. Did you get a lot out of two verses? Imagine what you're going to get out of 35 of them if you spend some time with the Word of God. The best interpretation of the Word of God comes from God. And the best preacher you're ever going to hear is you. Faith comes by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. You speak the Word of God over yourself. And that's where faith's going to come from. Here we go. Plans made to ambush Ai came from verses 3 through 8. Joshua stays with his people. It's one of my favorite parts of Joshua 8, verses 9 and 10. So they left and went to the place of ambush between Bethel and the west side. Everybody say, west side?
West side.
That was fun. I didn't think to do that during the first. Of Ai. But Joshua remained among the people in the camp that night. Joshua stayed with his people. Joshua stayed. He could have just dipped. Hey, this is the plan. We're going to get this city. We get to keep all the stuff. I'm gonna roll out. I'm going to go get a burger, and I'll be back when you get all the livestock and all the other plunder and spoils we get to keep. Because God said we get to keep that. Sound good? You good? All right. Let's roll. That's a manager. That's not a leader. Joshua's a leader. Joshua's a guy that I would follow. Joshua's a guy that we all could follow. We all need a leader like this in our life. We all need somebody that's, hey, you ever hear the saying, I'll go into any foxhole with you? Anybody ever hear that saying?
Yes.
There's a question mark at the end of that. Anybody ever hear, I'll go into any foxhole with you?
Yes.
All right, I've heard that saying. People have said it to me. I don't know what a foxhole looks like. I don't know if I'll fit, but I'd go. I've only seen one fox in my life. Just one. They're really cute. They're really cute. I saw it down at Arby's right here in White Oak. Rachel was with me. That was the day Rachel fell in love with horseradish sauce. She never had horsey sauce until me. Rachel is the reason I came to church. I came to church because of a girl the first week. Came to church the second week because of a girl. I met Jesus the third week, and then, you know, we got married. And then 13 years later, here we are. But we've been together 20 years.
Amen.
20 years. It's amazing. God used her to change my life. God used me to change her life in so many ways. She never had buffalo sauce before me. She likes her steak medium, medium rare now.
Amen.
She's hallelujah.
Yes.
Joshua stayed with his people. They had a victory at Ai. They followed the plan. Verses 11 through 13. The ambush worked. You believe it? What God told them to do worked. Verses 14 through 17. The fighting men of Ai dipped out. The people they were fighting, they left. They were scared. Ai is totally defeated and burnt to the ground. Burnt to the ground. Read chapter 8. It is phenomenal. We all want to get to the last parts here. We all want to get to the parts in verse 29. We all want to get to the part where they're burning it to the ground. They're celebrating. We all want to get to the Super Bowl, but none of us want to have three-a-day practices. Kirk Cousins, every rib was as close to broken as it could possibly be. Couldn't stand up. Was getting beat 33-0. His wife, Christian woman, I was in the stands. I was thinking about going home so I could get the kids to bed, and then I was going to watch the rest of the game from home, but I couldn't leave my baby. I couldn't leave him. They then came back after halftime, the largest comeback in NFL history. I don't know where I was going, but listen, sometimes you're hurt. Sometimes you feel beat up. Just follow the plan. Follow the game plan. We summarize this chapter. Be encouraged. Follow the Lord's plan. Use every resource. Live and look like Jesus. Go on the offensive and show no mercy to the enemy. This is the first time I think I've said this in church. It's not the last time because I really like it. I want you all to be offensive. I don't want you to offend people, but I want you to be offensive. 33-0. They needed to come out from the half and be offensive. They needed to score. They didn't need to play any defense. They weren't doing that already. They needed to score a lot of points. That's where I was going. Offense. Sometimes we need to be offensive. We need to go and stop sitting back and being defensive. Stop sitting on the seats. Every Sunday morning, 7:30 a.m., there's a group of people that come and pray for our Sunday morning worship experience. They were in here this morning praying over the seats. They report back after prayer. This is what we believe God was speaking. I thought that this morning they were confirming something that I've been praying for connection groups, but it's confirmed that it was for today, for this point. So a lot of people just come in and sit on the seats and check it off their box that they came to church. It's time to get offensive. It's time to get on the team. Get on the field and stop sitting on the bench. Get to the connection point. Say, what team can I be a part of? When's next steps? How can I discover the gifts that are within me? Joshua 8, 30 through 32. Then Joshua built an altar for the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal. He followed the commands that Moses, the Lord's servant, had written in the book of instruction. Make an altar for the stones, from the stones that are uncut and that have not been shaped with iron tools. Then the altar they presented, burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord, and the Israelites watched. Joshua copied onto the stones of the altar the instructions Moses had given them. Listen, this is a fulfillment of Deuteronomy 27 and 28, where the Lord told Israel, when they came to the promised land, to come to these mountains, build an altar, sacrifice to the Lord, and read the law. They're following the playbook. We see this as an appropriate act of worship, that they built an altar, they present burnt offerings to the Lord. It's an act of worship. Church, they're not forgetting to stop and give thanks to God. Listen, God should always get the glory. If you win, it's because of Him. If you win, it's because of Him. It's not because of anything that you've done. It's not because of how great you are. It's because of Him. He gets the glory. He gets the honor. That's why God told them, don't make this altar elaborate. Don't use fancy tools. It was a stone. Why do you think that is? He didn't want anything to draw away from Him. Ooh, look how pretty the altar is. How'd you do that? Beautiful carvings. Nope. It was all about Him and His glory. Had nothing to do with man-made stuff. Joshua copied onto the stones of the altar the instructions Moses had given them. In this act of obedience, we see that Joshua was a man of the playbook. And guess what else we see? He's obeying a command out of Joshua 1:8. We also see that Israel, they're a people of what? The playbook. Renewing your commitment to God. Joshua 8:33. Then all the Israelites, foreigners and native born alike, along with the elders, the officers, the judges, were divided into two groups. Everybody say, two groups? I like that you did it the exact way you said it. That's so much fun. One group stood in front of Mount Gerizim, the other in front of Mount Ebal. Each of them faced the other, and between them stood the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant. This was all done according to the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had previously given for the blessing of Israel. Let's keep going here. Joshua 34 and 35. We're going to start landing the plane. Here we go. Joshua then read to them all the blessings and the curses that Moses had written in the book of instruction. Every word, every command that Moses had ever given was read to the entire assembly of Israel, including the women, including the children, and the foreigners who lived among them. Now, I want you to imagine this. They were separated. One group on this side, one group on this side. Y'all with me? Y'all imagining? One on Mount Gerizim. Everybody say Mount Gerizim.
Mount Gerizim.
Everybody say Mount Ebal.
Mount Ebal.
Now here comes the picture. Right in the middle, Shechem. Shechem if you got him. Pastor Ben had a Bible teacher that said that. He said he used to drive him nuts. Mount Gerizim is the mountain of blessings. Mount Ebal was the mountain of curses. Shechem, right there in the middle, in Hebrew, literally means shoulder. Pretty impressive when you think about it. It's right there in the middle, holding things together. It's appropriate considering the location. Now imagine Joshua right there in the middle, reading the commandments. It's like a natural amphitheater. Echoing, the word of God just echoing. And as he's going through, people are shouting, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And they're breaking down the lies that have been spoken for years, the curses that have been holding them down for years. Because they're now walking in victory, their past no longer defines them. Amen. Hallelujah. Let it be so, Lord. I don't know about you, but when I saw this picture, I thought about two other mountains. Big ones. And the gap that separates the two. And I'm not smart enough to think about Mount Gerizim, Shechem, and Mount Ebal. I thought about myself, sin, and God. And that Jesus bridged the gap. I thought about the bridge to life. Looks a whole lot alike, doesn't it? Listen, I don't know where you're at, but there's some mountains in your life. You're the leader of one of them. God's the leader of the other. Jesus is the bridge right in the middle. Shechem, if you will. And he got him. You don't have to change the slide. You can leave the bridge up there, Kaylee. Romans 10, 9 through 10 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from what? First of all, a real place, hell. Second, you. stuff, your past, the lies, stuff that's been done to you, stuff you've done. Repentance gets you onto that bridge. Accepting the toll that's been paid for you gets you to the other side. Knowing that God loves you. He's the boss now and the leader of your future. Listen, if you're here today and you want to be like the people that were standing in Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal and hearing the commandments read by Joshua and screaming amen, they were renewing their commitment to God. If you're here today and you've never committed your life to God, or maybe you want to renew your commitment to God, I want you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done. And I just want you to stand with me. We're all getting ready to stand, but amen. Amen. If you want to commit your life to God today or renew your commitment to God today with our brother and sister, if you're here today, amen. And everybody else can scream amen too. Anyone else today that wants to renew your commitment to God or commit your life for the first time to Him? Anyone else? Amen. And the Word of God says that the heavens rejoice. Anyone else want to renew your commitment to God or commit your life to Him for the first time? Father God, I thank you so much that we have the opportunity to repent of who we are without you. God, I thank you that you gave your Son for us. Lord, we accept that forgiveness. We accept who you are. We accept the cross. We accept you as the leader into our future, the forgiver of our past and the leader into our future. In Jesus' name, if everybody can stand with those standing, we're getting ready to raise a hallelujah in this place. We thank God for a new strategy, a new beginning, and helping us get to a new victory in our life. God, we say hallelujah to everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, and everything that you're about to do. Let's raise a hallelujah in this place this morning. In Jesus' name.